We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
And we're back with another episode of The Breakdown. I'm Matt Hamilton. That's Matt Castle. Matt, the Chiefs are coming off of another impressive win. It didn't go as smoothly as maybe we thought it was going to against a banged-up Rams squad, but you have to give LA some credit. They fought hard, even in the face of all the injuries they were dealing with. And we saw Mahomes put on another performance. The Chiefs dealing with a lot of injuries of their own offensively, and Mahomes was brilliant once again. What stood out to you from that game?
You know, it's one of those situations that anytime you look at the game and your opponent that's coming up, you look at the LA Rams, they're missing their starting quarterback. They're missing their best wide receiver, Cooper Kupp. And so you think sometimes it, psychologically, you can take those teams lightly. But when you look at the Chiefs and what they did, it was a businesslike approach. They knew that the LA Rams were going to come out with a veteran team, particularly on defense. When you look at Aaron Donald, you look at Jalen Ramsey, you look at Bobby Wagner, guys like that. Those guys have tremendous pride, and this is a good defensive unit. So you knew that they were going to come out to play, but at the end of the day, the Kansas City Chiefs went out, and despite the injuries and all that, they took care of business, and that's what they needed to do. The one thing that stood out to me, and I know that Andy Reid addressed it after the post game and all that stuff, was they struggled in the red zone. But again, this is a really good defensive unit that they have for the LA Rams, and you're going to have to sometimes, you know, settle for field goals, and that's what they're able to do. But they walked out of that game with a victory. I thought the defense played dominant football throughout the course of the day. Nick Bolton's continues to show up, 11 tackles on the day. He had the deflection with the interception, and he had Snead with the interception as well, both in the fourth quarter, back-to-back possessions, and that was really a big point in the game.
Yeah, and the Snead interception especially, because it kind of bailed the offense out. The offense made right. A rare mistake, and the defense was able to bail them out immediately and kind of put the game on ice from there, because at that point the Rams had a chance to make it a game again. And you love seeing that. You know, we've seen the offense have to carry them at points, but the defense stepping up in a big moment to bail out that side of the ball. But we saw Mahomes spread the ball around once again. No Hardman, no Tony, and 10 different guys caught a pass, 8 different guys caught multiple passes. And it's just, it seems like no matter what you throw at Patrick Mahomes this year, he's able to overcome it and not miss a beat.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter who's out on the field, right? You're missing Mecole Hardman. You're missing Kadarius Toney. You're missing guys that have shown up on film this season. But whoever's out on the field, he finds a way to get it done. He's distributing the ball. And also, this is a defense for the LA Rams that didn't give up a lot of explosive plays. They usually average 2 explosive plays a game. And the Kansas City Chiefs went out there and they had 5 explosive plays in the game. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, the way that he's playing, the confidence, the decisiveness, the composure, everything that goes into him being the best quarterback in the game right now, it's on full display week in and week out. And it's also the consistency factor that he plays with. He's so consistent, and you know what you're going to get every single week when he steps on the field.
And the interesting thing about the Chiefs, too, is that they never, you know, they're never fully satisfied from a roster standpoint. We saw it this week, bringing in Melvin Gordon to the practice squad, bringing right. in former Raiders receiver Bryan Edwards, who we've seen have some flashes in this league and is So he's been an intriguing talent. I know there is so much depth there, and these guys are on the practice squad. We don't know if or when they'll necessarily crack the roster, but what did those two moves say to you?
I mean, that's the beautiful part about the Kansas City Chiefs. I love their front office. I love what they continue to do because they know that at any point in the season, a guy can go down. That's the nature of this beast, right? The injuries, the one thing that they tell you as a player when you come in, it's going to be 100% that you get hurt at some point or another, either during a season or in your career. That's just the facts. So the fact that they're continuing to add depth, continue to have guys that have experience, that have played at a high level at one point or another in the league, tells me that they're ready that for any different type of situation that may come up. And so that's a good sign for the Kansas City Chiefs moving forward.
And of course, the Chiefs have a huge matchup this weekend against the Bengals, looking for some revenge. But before we get to that, let's dig into some of the film from Sunday's win over the Rams. Just some more impressive stuff from Mahomes. What stood out to you on this one, Matt?
Yeah, it's first and 10, right? First and 10, you're backed up, and what you're trying to do is create a positive play. Get yourself a little leeway off of your own end zone. And so when you see this formation, it's a 3-by-1 set. He's in shotgun, so it kind of you could either run or pass, and a lot of times you get in shotgun and run the ball in the situation once again just to get a positive. But the impressive part about it is it's a three-man route. You got Kelce in the slot up top. He's just going to run your little stick route. And when you look at the defensive structure here, they're going to roll to MVS. And what I love about MVS's route right here is he forces outside release, because when you roll to him, he can inside release and still run that go. If he outside releases, he creates that separation away from the safety, gives Patrick Mahomes an opportunity. But the one thing that really stood out to me, and we talked about it before we even got on here, was how decisive Mahomes is right here. He understands what's happening. He understands that this corner has shown probably on film that he's going to trap Travis Kelce on the inside. It's going to be a roll coverage, and you might have an opportunity for the hole shot. And he doesn't hesitate whatsoever. He sees it, he recognizes it, and he lets it rip on a line before the safety can get over and make a play on the ball. Great job by MVS tapping his feet, but just a really decisive throw. No hesitation whatsoever, and lets it rip.
I mean, this is such a ridiculous throw. And I think it's something that, you know, it's not going to make the highlight reels. It's not going to make the end of the season reel if he does go on to win MVP, but these are the throws that you look at. And there's only a couple of guys in this league that can make this throw from a mental standpoint and from a physical standpoint. You're right. The instant recognition, the decisiveness, and just the arm strength to be able to drill this ball in there, and the confidence. I mean, to do this in a lot of things can go wrong on this play if you're not getting the look that, you know, you think you're getting, and especially down at that end of the field. So the confidence to be that decisive and just let this rip right away. This is such an impressive throw.
Yeah, it's 1-2-3. He recognizes the trap corner and puts the ball in a perfect position where he protects his receiver. He's got enough arc on it to get it over the cornerback, and the corner doesn't have time to even make any adjustment to give a little bit more depth and a little bit more width to even make a play on the ball. So, like you said, it's Mahomes at his best playing at a high level and understanding where he wants to go with the ball definitively.
Absolutely. And that wasn't the only absurd throw that we saw out of Mahomes on the day. Let's move to this next one. It was MVS again coming up in a big moment in the fourth quarter. What did you see on this one?
Yeah, I just love the variety of looks that the Kansas City Chiefs will give you and the different motions and where they put different individuals. Right here, you see they start in a bunch. They motion Travis Kelce into the backfield and really into that fullback position. They're going to run a play action pass here strong with Sky Moore coming around on the reverse. When you look at the defensive structure for the LA Rams, they're going to go to a 3-deep zone defense. They're going to blitz the will, so the safety is going to come down and replace him as a defender at the second level. But you see off the play fake right here, you've got 2-deep crossing routes. Justin Watson's going to come underneath MVS. MVS is going to go over the top. But once again, it's the confidence in which Patrick Mahomes throws this ball. As you'll see it as it starts to go here, he turns his back. He's got the play action. The reverse is coming, so you've got the outlets down low. But when you look at where he's throwing the ball right here, a lot of guys are like, it looks a little muddy, right? You got Jalen right there sitting kind of in that window, but he's letting it fly with confidence, understanding that he's trusting MVS to come underneath that guy. And then, and again, it's the way in which he delivers this football. He takes the air out of it, puts it on a line before the safety can come and make a play on the ball.
And the placement is so good too, because you know that safety is going to be coming down, trying to aim for that front hip of MVS. So he puts it a little bit behind him to let him settle in and make that throw and protect himself. And we've been talking about it all year on this show, and it's really evident week in and week out, just the way that Mahomes is starting to understand defenses and the confidence that he's playing with in what he's seeing. And again, he's always been a confident guy, obviously, with the plays that he makes physically. But I think we're seeing a difference in his confidence from a mental standpoint in what his eyes are seeing as in terms of what he's how he's reading these defenses. Do you agree with that? Do you see that?
I agree. I mean, it was evident on the first play. It's evident right here. The way in which he's processing at such a high level, and he understands what the defensive structure is, where he needs to go with the ball. And another great sign is the confidence that he has in these wide receivers. Because right there, a lot of guys are going to sit there and say, it looks a little muddy. I'm just going to check the ball down either to Kelsey, just put it on him, let him fall forward for 5 yards, or hit Sky Moore in the flat. Maybe he makes somebody miss. But it's the confidence that he has with in the rapport that he's built with MVS of making these type of plays, that he knows that he'll be in the right spot and he lets it fly. So it's an understanding of defense, it's his processing ability, and then it's the way in which he physically can deliver this football that not many people can.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are people out there that are like, come on, guys, like, what are you talking? He won an MVP, he threw 50 touchdowns, he won a Super Bowl. Like,
right.
But he is evolving. He is.
He's absolutely evolving. And as one of the hardest things, I think, for any quarterback is when you have different personnel, different guys rotating in and week out. And as we've seen every different week, there's different positions, there's different wide receivers on the field, but they're all seem to be making plays. And it's really because Patrick Mahomes puts him in a position to do so, but it's also because he's going through his reads appropriately and getting to the guy that's open based on what the defense is dictating to him.
Definitely. And that's something where we've seen him have some hiccups at points, I think that's been the thing that he has struggled with. And we're seeing him get over that hump this year. And I think that's why he's taken such a big step forward compared to where he was last year. But Matt, I saved the best for last for you here. You know,
we the best for last. Oh, we have to talk about this. Let's go.
And second and 16. Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce. Oh, well, you got Fortson coming over here. He's going to fake the jet sweep. You've got a lot of different action, right? They give you a lot to look at the from the defensive side of the ball pre-snap. So you got tight end going across on the jet sweep. You've got the running back coming, faking zone. Then you've got the flash runner with Noah Gray coming backside to sell that run fake. But look at Travis Kelce. This is really what we call 22 man. You've got man across the board with two high safeties. And these guys are told to play with inside leverage. But when you look at the matchup that Kelce has, he's got one of the best corners in the game with Jalen Ramsey. So he forces his inside release. He's got a crossing route. He gets stopped as well. It'll show here in just a second, but it's a one-on-one matchup. A lot of times when you see a tight end on a corner, you're like, no, that's not it. But this isn't any tight end. This is Travis Kelce, the best in the game. He vertically stems, and then it's the top of route where he creates separation. This is where he's so savvy, and he can create and get open versus anybody, because you see him give him that head fake on the outside. And when you're told as a defender in 22 man, you go for that undercut and that first move. And that's what Travis Kelce understands. And he's able to create separation. Patrick waits for him, gives him the ball, and he does the rest. I mean, he's so incredible with the ball in his hand and the yak yardage.
And you're right. What Kelce does is unbelievable. And that's the story of this play. I mean, breaking off an all pro corner like that, end is just something that's absurd. But I also don't want it to get lost in just the incredible individual effort from Kelce. Like the creativity that we continue to see from Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy. I mean, this is 13 personnel.
Yep.
Matt, you know, when you're in an offense and you're lining up in 13 personnel, you're usually, you know, under center, running the football. It's a heavy set. It's a heavy package. They spread this out. They're doing jet sweeps and fake shovel passes and with their second and third string tight ends.
And that's the beauty about this offense, too, is every one of these tight ends can contribute in the pass game, right? They're pass catchers. They understand how to get open and run routes. But like you said, 13 personnel, that's three tight ends, one wide receiver, and a majority, I'm saying 85, 90% of the teams that line up in 13 personnel, it's because they have a run-first mentality. It's not to line up in shotgun, to go motion, to send every one of them out on a deep passing route, particularly a post, a wheel, and then a crossing route. And so that's why this offense is so dangerous, because of the versatility, because they have no tall tale signs when you look at them from a personnel standpoint. It can be pass at any moment, it can be run at any moment, and they can do it any type of personnel grouping.
It really is remarkable. And we notice, as we were talking about this play before the show, getting ready, we noticed something. It was funny. I didn't happen to notice as I was putting this together. But we noticed as we were talking through it, you'll see, you can see it best from the sideline angle. As Kelce, you know, breaks into the open field, you'll see Isaiah Pacheco kind of stay in pitch phase behind him. And Kelce thinks about it. He almost pitches this ball over to Pacheco. And he probably would have scored if he did it, but it's probably safer that Kelce held on to it and did it himself. But it's just funny, like, the creativity that extends to these players, too, when they get the ball in the open field. Watch this as Kelce makes this move, and Pacheco, he spots Pacheco.
Oh, no. I thought he was going to lateral it. I mean, and you'll even see it just in this angle right here. You really don't understand it until you watch it for a few times. But after he makes this catch right here, this defender's coming up for him and gives him a little, oh, no, and then – arm tackle, sorry, into the end zone. It's a thing of beauty right here. I mean, that guy is special.
Can you imagine how that building would have exploded if he pitched that ball?
Oh, my gosh. That would have been a really long pitch, too. I mean, I would have given him a lot of credit, and that would have took a lot of brass in order to do that.
Yeah, and it's probably for the best. We've seen the one area we've seen Kelce have some issues in the past, or when he has to pitch that ball or throw it downfield. It hasn't always gone well, but
yeah, just keep the ball in your hands, big fella. That's all you need to do, because you're good enough as it is.
An incredible play. But let's now start looking ahead, because this is a huge one. And as I said before, I think this one means a lot to the team after how things played out last year with the Bengals going into Arrowhead twice and finding a way to beat the Chiefs, obviously the AFC Championship game being the biggest one. And it's really something we haven't seen from this Chiefs team. I looked it up earlier. The only team that has beaten the Chiefs twice in one season in the Patrick Mahomes era was the Patriots back in 2018. Right. So the Bengals did something that not a lot of teams have been able to do. And it seems like they're getting healthy at the right time. It sounds like Joe Mixon will be back. And it sounds like Ja'Marr Chase, after missing a bunch of games with that hip injury, will be back into the fold as well. So, Matt, when you go back to kind of last year's games and how this year's been playing out, like, what's going to be the key for the Chiefs to solve their issues with this Bengals team?
You know what? They just got to keep their foot on the pedal, really, is what it comes down to, because in both of those games, they're up at 11 points in each of those games, right? And they let them back into the game. And this is a team that is a gritty team. And you saw it last week against the Tennessee Titans when the Bengals went into Tennessee. And this is a good defense for the Tennessee Titans. And they were able to pull that out 20-16, missing some of their star players. But they're getting better. I mean, they've won four of their last five games. They're 7-2 since starting 0-2 on the season. And Joe Burrow, he's been outstanding since those first 2 weeks. I know he threw four picks in the first game, but he's been steady, and he's been the guy that we saw last year for the course of this season. So he's getting his guys back healthy. They're a dangerous team. We saw it in the first game. It was an absolute shootout. And that was also where Ja'Marr Chase just went absolutely off. I mean, it was a remarkable game, 266, three touchdowns, all that stuff. And so they corrected that in the second game. However, it was at the end of the game. Patrick Mahomes leads them on a tremendous drive. drive in the 2-minute drill. They get down into the low red zone and it's two sacks. They got to settle for a field goal. That's what sent them to overtime. And then we know about the turnover in OT that really led to the field goal in extent. But this is a team that can hang around, and you don't want to let this team hang around because they've been in these type of games before, and they've shown that they can come out on top and continue to fight, and they'll be competitive with you throughout the course of a game.
Hey, I got to tell you guys about our friends at Liquid Death. And by now, you guys already know that you might see some strange tall boys of beer in the bottled water section of your local stores. Well, it's not beer. It's actually mountain spring water from the Alps, and it's called Liquid Death. Why is the water called Liquid Death? Say it with me. It'll brutally murder your thirst. And their infinitely recycled tall boy cans are here helping to bring death to plastic bottles as well. They also donate 10% of their profits from every can sold to kill plastic pollution. I've got the severed lime flavor with me here. I also love the berry flavor. Also, just the straight still water is incredible. I like drinking the water out of the can. It makes you feel powerful, makes you feel authoritative. So here's what you got to do. Go to liquiddeath.com/KCSN to find their store locator tool, or you can go get Liquid Death at your local Target, Walmart, or 7-Eleven. Go check them out at liquiddeath.com/KCSN.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
And I think this is going to be the ultimate test of what we talked about as far as Mahomes' growth and maturity from a mental standpoint. That we've seen this season, because I think it was our first show that we did. We actually, when we were talking about what we were looking for out of this Chiefs offense, obviously we knew it was going to be a different looking Chiefs offense without Tyreek Hill. And we went back to that Bengals game and looked at a few of the opportunities that Mahomes missed trying to force some things, especially when it came to some of those RPOs where the read was telling him to give it. And he was trying to push the ball downfield. So I think if I'm the Bengals, I'm looking to have a similar approach defensively as we saw in the second half of that AFC Championship game, and put the onus on Mahomes to take what the defense is giving him.
Right, and that was a big part of the adjustment at halftime for the Cincinnati Bengals was, let's rush three, let's get more guys in coverage, let's make them earn it, and also take the check down or run the ball. And some of those decisions, like you said, in the RPO game in particular, where you could hand off the ball for at least a 3-4 yard positive run, instead you're trying to force a ball into coverage where they've got extra guys on the defense. So it'll be interesting to see the approach of the Bengals this week, to see if they take a page out of last year's game, particularly in the second half, and say, hey, look, we'll be a bend but don't break team, but let's make them earn it. Let's make them earn it on every single series in terms of going first, second, third down, not give up the explosive play, because I guarantee that's what the Bengals are talking about right now, because they know that they've got the Kansas City Chiefs has such an array of weapons. They can do so many things, such a multitude of ways to attack this defense, that they want to say, hey, look, let's just make them move the field. Hopefully there's some opportunities there where they can create turnovers, but that's where you have to be diligent. And this is a game in which Patrick Mahomes just has to do what he's been doing all season long, is take what they give you. It sounds simple, but that's really what it's going to come down to.
I agree 100%. And it's that time, Matt, to make some picks. I think this is our toughest pick of the season.
This is the game of the week, baby. Let's go.
It really is. So how do you see this one playing out?
I think it's going to be a tight game. I really do. I think these are two really good teams, two of the top teams in the AFC. And so I do believe, though, the Kansas City Chiefs, the way in which they're playing, the confidence in which they have, and also Patrick Mahomes himself, will find a way to pull this one out. But I think it's going to be like a 24-21, just as very similar to what these last two games have been between these teams last season. It's going to be a one score game somehow, some way.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. And I think it's hard for me to see a team beating the Chiefs three times in a row. It's hard to envision. And especially with the way that this Chiefs offense and Mahomes have evolved this season, I think they're playing at a much higher level than they were at this point last year, and much more consistently than they were last year. So I think the Chiefs find a way to get it done. I'm saying 27-24 Chiefs.
Yeah, I love it. Let's go. Let's. I'm ready for this game now. You know what I mean? I'm just like, I'm so excited. It's going to be a good one, man.
I think this is the best week, the best slate of games that we've had on the calendar all year, and it's just in time for that ramp up to playoffs. So I can't wait for it. And of course, you know, we'll be right back here to break it all down for you next week and continue to look ahead to what's left on the Chiefs' schedule. So for Matt Castle, I'm Matt Hamilton. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll get back with you next week.